Chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, this is the word of the living God. Soon afterward, he, that is Jesus, went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell among the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beloved in the Lord, we come now to one of the first parables, the extended parables recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. And in this parable, Jesus tells, in a certain fashion, through the teaching of parables, about the necessity of the exclusive place of the Word of God in our hearts. Jesus uses a familiar teaching technique called a parable to engage his listeners' attention, and he uses kinds of things that are very common, the things that those who heard him would understand as he deals with the field of farming or husbandry. And so he tells the parable about the soils. Really, this is not the parable of the sower as much as it is about the parable of the soils, because it's the soil in this parable through which Jesus explains is representative of those who hear and respond to the word of God. The sower, of course, is the one who brings the word of God. But yet he expands upon the soils and the 4 types of soils, representing the 4 kinds of hearts that are characterized by either hardness or shallowness or preoccupation or by readiness to receive the word of God. And that's what we want to look at this morning, those 4 types of hearts represented by the 4 soils in this parable in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin with soil number 1, the hard soil, which, as the parable tells us, wouldn't receive the seed. It's almost, you can almost picture in your mind that as the sower is just scattering his seed, a different technique, of course, than today's mature farming techniques. But in those days, it was the sower who would scatter the seed everywhere. You can almost picture that the seed scattered on this rocky ground, it just almost bounces off. And that's what Jesus says. The word is that it bounces off the soil. It doesn't penetrate the surface. There's no understanding. There's no place in the heart for the seed of the Word of God and the person represented by this hard soil. There's a picture of the seed just lying there on the rocky soil in the ground. And this gospel account by Luke and in the other parallel accounts by the other gospel writers, it says the feet of the passers-by come and trample on that seed because it's on the path, on the rocky ground, and the seed is just crushed and it is hard, but it gets no root in the ground. And then the gospel writer here and in the other account says even the birds come, and what do? They do what's natural for birds. They eat the seed and they snatch it away. The seed doesn't even then have a chance to root, germinate and root and to grow, because not only is the hard soil of the ground not receptive to it, but the work of the devil, as this gospel writer Luke tells us and the other gospel writers confirm it, represented by the activity of the birds, the seed is snatched away. Jesus himself explains the meaning of this first soil, the hard soil. He says it's the unresponsive, insensible, callous heart of unbelief. The person likened to the seed on hard ground is the one who has hardened himself to the things of the kingdom of God. He doesn't want to hear it. He scorns the gospel. Nothing stirs his heart when it comes to the things of God. Life itself crowds out anything that would represent the things that belong to spiritual truth. And then Jesus tells us in his explanation of the parable the danger that exists for the seed on the hard soil, or the person who is represented by that who has a hardened heart. The danger is that the person is unreceptive to the Word of God, but does not also understand the Word of God, does not care for the truth of redemption and salvation. They may be familiar words, but they're unintelligible to that person. The heart is harder than cement, because spiritual matters are of absolutely no interest. They do not have a place in the heart of the person who's represented by this hard, rocky soil. Spiritual matters such as love to God, serving Jesus, studying the Word of God, being a part of the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, are of absolutely no concern to such a person whose heart has been hardened against the things of God. And Satan then comes to snatch away the Word of God, placing evil thoughts, worldly pursuits in the path. The person says, well, I don't have time for things about church, or the usual excuse, the church is full of hypocrites, so why should I come? The answer, of course, is because, like you, we're hypocrites too, and we need the Word of God. But the person has no interest for the church. The pleasures of the world are the things that draw that individual, not the things concerning the kingdom of God. And yet such a person can even be a member of the church, because they can go through the motions. They can say the right words, but their heart has not been penetrated by the living Word of God. And they scorn obedience to the Scripture and the call to discipleship and the things that represent the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ, substituting rather a religion that is more to their liking, a religion of convenience, a religion of, I'll go when it's convenient. I put in my appearance, or as I've always liked to suggest it, that this is the nod to God aspect of humanity that is hardened against God. But we give a nod to God, you know, he's there, but we don't want him to interfere in our lives. The hardened heart, that's the first soil. Soil number two, Jesus tells us that the sower sows the soil and some of the seed falls in a rocky place. But it's on those rocks, on that strata of rock, there's just a little bit of soil, enough that the seed is able to germinate, enough that the seed is able to sprout up after a fashion. The thin soil covering that strata of rock just gives enough to that seed so that it can sprout and grow, but not enough for it to germinate and to root deeply. And it produces feverish growth, but insufficient to allow the seed to be deeply rooted to find the nourishment that's needed for survival. And so what happens? Well, when Jesus tells us that the sun comes out and it beats down on the plant because it doesn't have enough life in the deep roots that are necessary to sustain itself in terms of the harsh hardness of the sun, the plant withers and it dies. Jesus explains the meaning of that second soil. He says, the person that is described by that second soil is the one who gives some evidence of and having hope of eternal life, but in reality is just simply superficial and shallow, and in the end falls away from the gospel and from the word of God. It's a picture of the shallow, impulsive person, easily impressed, thinks that, boy, that church was really exciting and really neat, and oh, I think I should go there, but to come back or to be a part of it or to give myself to Christ or to be a part of the kingdom of God or to commit to discipleship, well, I don't really have my heart in that. There's no roots going deep in the heart and in the life of that person. They don't have the roots that sink deep into communion by true faith with Jesus Christ. They attend church because of the benefits that they perceive. Oh, salvation is a great word. Nobody wants to go to hell. You go to church so that you think you're on your way to heaven. We want to be happy. Nobody wants to live in misery. And so we go to where we find a message of happiness and a message that comforts us for the moment. But such a person represented by this soil has not counted the cost of discipleship as Jesus speaks of it in Scripture. They have not perceived the difficulties of what it means to follow Jesus, to forsake the world, to crucify the old nature, and to lead a godly life. And because they have only accepted God on their own terms, when God presents His terms in the Word, God's terms are rejected. They want a God of their own creation, of their own devising, of their own imagination, a God who meets their need on their level. And their salvation is truly self-sufficient. It is shallow, not deeply rooted in the Word of God. And Jesus tells us the danger of such a faith that is shallow and in reality fake. The danger of that shallow, impulsive, self-sufficient person is ultimately they are not only bitter, they are lost. Jesus identifies the danger to the self-sufficient person with trials that come. And when those trials come, their life is not rooted deeply in Jesus Christ, and so they fade away. Like a plant in the face of the new sun, a believer, a true believer, ought to thrive because the sun should ripen the fruit. The sun, when it comes out, should cause all of the growth processes to occur in that plant. And in the case of plants that are shallow and unable to find rootage, their nourishment doesn't come from deep. They have no roots. They have no nourishment. And that plant withers before the sun because the very means that should have brought it nourishment and health and growth are not there. It does not have roots. The person who is like that soil is devoid of life and fruit. The very things that God provides for life and fruit in the life of a true believer in Jesus Christ are absent and spell death and destruction to the person who is represented by this soil. They become spiteful, scornful of the things of God, bitter towards God's word, and reject God's word out of hand simply because it doesn't meet their personal standard. They're offended at God's standard. They're offended that God would demand certain things in His Word, and so reject it out of hand. They are without true faith in the God whose Word is life and light and salvation to all who believe, to all who have true faith. And that soil sown in the rocky places, in the shallow heart, does not thrive and does not provide life and fruit. Then let's look at the third soil in this parable. Jesus tells us the third soil is representative of the heart that's preoccupied and things crowded out, and that's pictured for us in the picture of the weeds that grow up and crowd out the life of that plant, and eventually what happens to the plant. In the passage here, it says it's choked out. It's choked and it dies. Jesus describes the third soil as that which manifests thorns or weeds at the same time that the plant grows. The plant cannot grow and be thriving and cannot be healthy because the soil is preoccupied with feeding not the plant but the weeds. Now, most of us have some sense of farming in this community, I hope. You know that you can't let the weeds grow. You have to go out, you have to cultivate, you have to pull weeds, and you have to make sure that the weeds are gone to give the plants the ability to draw its nutriments and its sustenance from the soil. Because if you don't get rid of the weeds, they will, like Jesus says here, crowd out the life of the plant. And that means that the ground has to be prepared carefully, soil has to be cultivated, the weeds have to be removed. And what Jesus gives here is a picture of poor farming. When you allow life-choking weeds to live alongside of the plant, that's poor farming, and the weeds will choke out the plants before the plant can produce healthy, vibrant, life-giving fruit. Jesus identifies that third soil with the person whose faith is like the plant and the soil, which is choked out by the weeds. It's preoccupied. The preoccupations are the weeds that enter our lives, the things that prevent the Word of God from blossoming and blooming in our lives. It's a soil representative of the heart that's preoccupied with matters that are not related to Jesus Christ, the things of the kingdom of God. The cares and the attractions of the world are more important. And those weeds grow and choke out the life, the spiritual life of such a person. We have to take time to cultivate our spiritual life. We have to take time to weed the garden, as it were. And the picture that Jesus is giving here in this terminology is the picture of hard work, and it requires faithfulness. You can't do what I did one time when I planted a garden. My wife won't let me garden anymore because of it. I planted a garden and I had everything all lined up. I had everything tilled. I put the plants in and the flowers, but we made the mistake of going away for a kind of a lengthy vacation. And when I came back, my weeds had grown much better than my plants, and they got ahead of things, and I kind of gave up on farming and cultivating and all of the rest of things. And so we don't garden anymore. It's much easier to go to the store and buy it off the shelf and get it that way, because it requires work. And you know what? I just didn't like the work that was involved in going out and bending over and getting all those cotton picking weeds out of my way. They were a bother to me, and I just wouldn't do it. Well, the weeds won. Weeds won, Steve, none. I didn't do it. And the lesson is there. The weeds choked out the life of all of my plants. Jesus tells us that the third soil here, represented by a person whose faith is preoccupied or choked out with weeds, is like the person who's allowing his life to get choked out, not taking the time in his life to do the work of cultivation, of preparing the heart, of seeking the things of God, of reading and of studying the Word, of prayer, of the things that are necessary to the kingdom of God, because well, those things take work, and if they don't get done, pretty soon the life of faith is choked out and simply dies off. The danger, as it's illustrated by Jesus' teaching, is that the cares of the world will snuff out the life of such a person. The danger is that the world and all that it provides us will intoxicate such a person, and the things of the kingdom of God will just simply be ignored. Your life becomes overgrown with the thorns and the weeds of matters that preoccupy your heart in the place of walking in obedience to the word of God and Jesus Christ. And when you do that, your life overgrown with weeds will choke out the life of God in Christ. There will be no life. There was no life, and the plant withers and dies. But the soil that produces life and fruit is soil number 4. It represents the person who exhibits saving faith. You have to see in this parable that there are 4 soils, 3 of which do not represent saving faith. Only 1, the 4th soil. It's the soil that brings forth fruit. It brings forth a harvest. Here in this gospel account, Luke says it brings forth 100-fold. The other gospel writers don't necessarily state that, but what Jesus is emphasizing in this recording of the parable is the abundance of the harvest that happens in the life of the person who receives the word of God. He describes the soil as the kind that's receptive, that's fertile and productive, the rich soil that has been made ready, the rich soil that allows the nutriments that are necessary to provide life and sustain life to take root and to be able to produce a harvest. It's marked by characteristics that are simply the negative of the previous soils. This is not hard soil. It has been prepared. The seed enters it. It is not shallow soil. It's deep and full and rich so that the soil will allow the plant to take deep root. It's not preoccupied with thorns and weeds. That's been prepared. The ground is ready, and so the soil receives the living word and brings forth fruit. Jesus tells us that this picture is the picture of a true faith, a faith that's receptive, a faith that's productive. Such a person of faith hears and receives and understands the word of God and goes on to be productive in faith and in obedience to the word of God. Only the person who believes wholeheartedly and commits and surrenders to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by true faith is saved. He alone receives the word like the good seed is received by the soil in the good soil. He alone is the one in whom the light and life of God's word comes to reside and to grow and to provide a harvest. His pathway is lit by obedience to the word of God, to what God reveals in scriptures. Heart is not preoccupied with the things that crowd out the things of God. Rather, his heart is preoccupied with Jesus. His heart is preoccupied with the things of his Savior. His heart is preoccupied with the kingdom of God and the truth of God's word. He loves the Lord, and he demonstrates that by a life that's marked by obedience to the word of God. And such a person is, like this 4th soil, productive. Like the plant in that 4th soil, he grows, he produces, he grows in faith. He grows, and as the years go by, that faith deepens, that faith grows, that faith, though it's tested by all of the things that are allowed into it, still holds fast to Jesus Christ. The true believer in Jesus has faith in Jesus alone for salvation and for all of life and eternity. And because he has faith in Jesus, he's productive. He brings forth the harvest of the fruits of righteousness in his life. What would you do with soil that did not produce a harvest? Would you go out and till that portion of your field once again if it did not produce a harvest? Of course not. You find the soil that is suitable, the soil that is productive, the soil that when the seed is planted, it brings forth a harvest. And the harvest, year after year, can increase and be a blessing because the soil that produces it is the soil that is ready for the seed that is planted. And that's the picture that Jesus is giving us in this parable in his teaching. And the question that comes to us then through this teaching is this: is your heart ready? Is it prepared? Is it cultivated? Is it receptive? Is it productive? That's the point of the parable. Jesus is asking us whether or not our hearts are like this fourth soil, receiving the word with faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's a note of warning to examine our hearts and to ask whether or not our heart is receptive to the word of God. So today I ask you, is your heart like the fourth soil? To change the figure for a moment, is your heart like a sponge? What is the purpose of a sponge? Soak it up. A good sponge will hold a lot of water. You need to wash your car, you want to have a good sponge. So soak up the water and to wash it clean. We need to have hearts that are like sponges, like good soil, receptive, ready, soaking up God's truth, his word. Remember, nothing but the good ground, the good soil, will be saved at last. But the truth of God's word is this: our hope is not in ourselves. In spite of the power of Satan, which is represented here by the birds that snatch away the seed in the hard ground, the cares of the world and the delusions of the world and the preoccupation of the world and the thorns represent that. In spite of all of these things, the Bible doesn't tell us that you're saved by your own doing. No. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:23 that you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed. That is the living word of God. That heavenly seed, that word of God, unlike earthly seeds, changes the soil, changes the heart, transforms the heart, transforms hardened hearts of dead sinners who are hardened against God to living hearts that receive Jesus, believe in him for life and for eternity, and are saved by the power of God. The hardest of hearts and the most callous may become soft and deep by the power of the living word, the powerful word of God. So pray that the heavenly seed of the word of God may find root in your heart. If it has not, you need not despair, because that powerful word can change the heart of stone and bring forth life and salvation. One writer says this, and with this we close: if you find that you are a soil other than the good soil, repent and believe without delay. He had it right, because repent and believe is the call of the gospel. And ask God to put eternal life into your soul today and produce the fruit of the Spirit abundantly in your life. May God be pleased to do so wherever his word goes forth. Wherever that sower sows the seed today, in our hearts and in the hearts of people everywhere, that there may be a harvest of righteousness for his glory and his kingdom. Amen.